together we sing. Everyone see. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name.
Aren't you glad that we can bless the Lord who has blessed us? Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there's something special about people of like faith coming together from the heart, lifting up the name above all other names. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar verses of Scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. A lot of times as we study the Word of God, a lot of times as the Holy Spirit is talking to us and dealing with us about where we're at and where the Lord would have us to be, we have to be willing to look at things through different lens. We have to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to use verses of Scripture that we've studied many times, that we've been taught many times, that we've heard preached on many times, and we need to allow the Spirit of God to show us the multifaceted level of the Word of God. If we're not careful, we'll look at it in just one facet, and we limit what God can do. Amen. God can do all things, but the Bible says that the children of Israel, they what? They limited the Most High God. And you and I, we don't ever limit God. We want to allow God to be who He is in our lives in fullness. Amen? And so I heard these two words in the Spirit when I was praying for this service, and it sounds strange, and you may want to say, now, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. But if you'll just listen by the eyes of your heart, and, you know, you receive what the Spirit of God is saying, and if anything I might say that might be contrary, you throw it away. Amen? We hear by the Spirit. But, you know, the two words I heard was, you and I, we need to become blessed.
Yes.
Become blessed. You say, well, now, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said that you and I, the believer, whether we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. Ephesians 1:4, I believe it is. He said that. That is true. But just like you and I come to salvation, and then we start on the road of sanctification, which is completely different. Sanctification takes impurities out of your life that would limit and hinder, that would keep you and I from being able to grow. The Bible says that you and I are to hear the truth spoken in love, Ephesians chapter 4, that we would grow thereby, that we'd grow up. Amen. And so let's look at that with that in the mindset, and let's be willing to allow the Word of God. Jesus said that I will prune you, John 15, I'll prune you and I'll purge you with my Word. And that pruning and purging would make you and I, what? To bear much fruit, and that fruit would remain. And one of the best things that you and I can have is the blessing of God in every area of our life, because not only do we need to become blessed, but we need to understand that we are to be a blessing. Amen? All right. With that being said, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I think this is the greatest message in the Sermon on the Mount that Christ taught for this time anyway. Notice what he said. And seeing the multitudes, he went up, Jesus went up, unto a mountain, or into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed, who's blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Why? For my sake, for the very sake of Christ. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Well, thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Lord, may we just open our heart wide to you, and the Spirit flows freely out of heaven into our hearts, Lord, changing the very mindset, our very thought pattern, and stepping forth to your will.
Yes, Lord.
Your way is this day, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, the children of the Almighty God are to be Christ in the earth today. We're to walk as Christ walked. We are to speak by the unction of the Spirit of God, the commands of God, and rightly divide the Word of God and bring it into our lives and into our community in due season. Amen. And the way that we can do that is we get into a mindset of who we are because of Christ Jesus, not because of past experience, not because of what we've been labeled or marked up as by the world, but we're labeled and marked by that sealing of the Holy Spirit that has been placed upon your spirit, upon every blood-bought, blood-washed believer. Amen. And so here we are this morning in a world that is in turmoil, in a world that is running to and fro, and they're seeking knowledge, just like what the prophet Amos prophesied about. They're looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. We're in a famine, and that famine that Amos prophesied about was the famine for hearing the Word of God. Amen? And so you and I, we need to learn how by the Spirit of God to stand up in who we are and become blessed. Become blessed not just in one area that's easy, one area that was supernatural, but in every area of our life. And we won't have time this morning to look but at one of these, but this very first thing that Jesus said, he opened his mouth and he taught them, it said in verse number 2. And then what did he teach them? Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. This makarios in the Greek, it means to be supremely blessed. How happy. You and I today, as you look around the world, people, they're not happy. People are that don't know Jesus, the people who are not walking under the blessings of God, not walking in obedience, not walking in fellowship of the Spirit, not walking in the unity that God had designed for them, for us to have through Christ Jesus, they're not happy. They're looking for things. They're trying to satisfy in stuff that's temporal, satisfy in things that one day that Peter said was going to burn up. Amen? And so you and I this morning, we're in a place, we're in a position where we want to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, how happy, how happy, how supremely blessed. Supremely blessed means that the supreme creator, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, he was called Kyrios, Lord. When you name Jesus the Lord of your life, when I named him the Lord of my life, that was the Greek word Kyrios, and it means he is supreme in authority in your life. Amen? That means he has the first say and the final say. Not the devil, not the world, not your feelings, not my feelings. Hi, Brother David. Not the flesh, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, I want you to be blessed, but there's a realm, there's a channel for you to be blessed. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And so we've got to see that without Christ Jesus, that we were spiritually bankrupt, we were emotionally bankrupt, and physically, we were on our way out. But because of the grace of God ministering Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at some things that will set a parameter in our life that'll line up 1, 2, 3, some areas in our life to make sure that we're in the place where we're being blessed. Where the blessing of the Lord that Paul wrote to that church at Ephesus is not only promised to us, but it's being received by us and it's being channeled through us. Amen. So let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at some examples that will help us. Let's go to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 40, look at the last verse, verse number 17. Now this is a psalm that talks about the importance of waiting on the Lord and how faithful the Lord is. But I want you to see why the psalmist knew that the God that he served was so faithful. Why he was always on the scene. So you and I can be in a place, in a position to receive that reality and that truth, but also to live it and witness it to people around us that have never experienced it. Amen? Notice what the scripture says. Psalms 40 and 17 says, but I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He says, thou art my help and my deliverance, make no tarrying, oh my God. Now, when you and I recognize what he's talking about, when we say, Lord, I'm poor in the sense that I'm humble. There's no issue of pride here, and on my own, I know that I can't pull myself up out of this situation. I can't change this situation. I can't change my destiny. I can't on my own, but I can through Christ do all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is my strength. He's my victory. He's my hope. He's my confidence. And so I'm looking to you and I'm saying, and I'm willing not to put confidence in this world that's lost and undone. I'm not putting confidence in a government that's going down. I'm putting my confidence in the one who carries the government on his shoulders. Amen? Jesus Christ. He's the one. His name is Wonderful. His name is Pila. His name is Miracle. Amen? My confidence, my hope is in Jesus the Christ. And because I'm making that decree, I'm making that statement, I know that you're going to show up where I'm at. And you're going to lift me up out of that situation. And I'm going to become blessed because I know that even though the enemy's against me, you said that because I love you, Jesus, because I'm called according to your purpose, you're going to work these things out for my good, for the good of the whole body. Amen? He said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord. Now, mark this down in your mind's eye. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Now, this morning, you and I, we've got to hide this truth in our heart. Now, from the Hebrew, this says that the Lord is not only thinking about you, but he is fabricating. He is interweaving his will, his plan. He's writing your destiny out.
Yes.
Now, think about that. You've got an enemy out there who has a plan for your life. You've got a world who wants to say that you can do this and do that because of your past experience or because of your economic stature in society. But you're serving a God who says, I've got thoughts that are greater than yours. My ways, my thoughts, they're higher than yours. I want to go by the thoughts of the Lord God Almighty, don't you? I want him to set the standard for me. I want him to cause me to be blessed in areas and ways that I've never seen. I want Ephesians 3:20 to be manifested in my life. I want a God that can do exceedingly above all I can think or ask. Amen? That's the God that we serve. That's who he is. And so if I'm going to be blessed by that type of God where I can become a blessing in a world that is without hope when they're without Jesus. But with Jesus, they have exactly what they need when they need it. I've got to come to this situation. I've got to humble myself. I've got to recognize that I am poor and I am needy. But I've got a God who says, I didn't create you to be poor and needy.
Right.
I created you. And I called you out and I said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? That's a covenant that you and I have from the beginning that is reestablished with Abraham. And you and I, we are of our father Abraham, the father of faith, because we've been grafted in, Romans 11, into this grapevine. We've been grafted into the truth and the promises of God. And therefore, we have the blessings of Abraham upon us because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we've got to walk like that. We've got to talk like that. And any time there would be an enemy that would come up and try to magnify a lie in front of your family, in front of your friends, in front of your very harvest field, you are to be the salt and the light and to say, no, no, that's not going to manifest here. That's not going to take root here. Those words are going to go by the wayside because I've got a God who has a word that is more powerful, that is more sure. That is the very will that was from the foundation of the world. Amen? That's our job. That's who you and I have been called to be. And we have the authorization from heaven. We have the anointing that abides within us that will never leave you. That whether you feel the doodads or not, it does not matter. The anointing is inside of you. 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27, that charisma, that is there, that gifting is there. And so you've got to walk it out. I've got to walk it out. And sometimes we're walking. We may not see even where we're walking upon, but we know that we're on the rock. Amen? Because we're building our life, not on sinking sand, but on the foundation of the Word, the living Christ. Amen? I know he's alive because you brought him with you this morning. I brought him with me this morning. Amen? There is no doubt about it. So he said right here, he said, because you art my help. We got to tell people what to say. Come on, think about it. Just stop this morning and think about what you've heard this past week. How many times you've heard people say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no hope. I have no confidence. That's okay if they're talking about the world. But some people got more confidence in our government than they do in our king. And when all said and done, Jesus Christ is going to be what's left and everything else is going to be gone. Amen? We've got to have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to tell people, God is God. He is my God. Now notice what he said. He said, thou art my help and my deliverer. What do you need this morning? What do you need to maybe manifest in your life that you can be blessed to be delivered from? What do you need to be used by God to help somebody else to be delivered from? Amen. Come on, all around us, there's people that are in bondage. They're in bondage whether to sin, whether to doubt, whether to fear, whether to misunderstanding, confusion, addiction, hurts, curses from the past. But Jesus Christ said, I want to redeem you from every curse.
Hallelujah.
That the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. That's what Jesus wants to do. And so we want to be in the place where I see that I am being blessed and I am becoming a blesser because the Word says I can. The Word admonishes me to. Amen? And God is thinking this about you. Now, if God is thinking that about you, that means what God thinks, He says. And remember, when He speaks, let there be light. Light is in a continual creation process. Glory. So the Word of the Lord is alive and well in your life, in my life. Let's don't stifle it. Let's don't hinder it. Let's come in agreement with it. Jesus said, we're two agreed as touching any one thing here on earth. It shall be none of our Father in heaven. You may not have nobody else, but you got Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody else may not understand where you're at or what you're doing, but Jesus does because He dropped it in your heart. Amen. Now, let's look at the prophet Isaiah and let's see what he had to say along these lines. Isaiah chapter 41. I wish we had time to look at all of this. We don't, though. But look at starting at verse number 17. Isaiah 41:17. It says, when the poor and the needy seek water. Now, remember, we're talking about the humility, right? Those who are humble. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. Now remember, in the English language, when you translate something from the Hebrew, the English language, when we say, I will, it's the strongest assertion that you can stand on. So your confidence, your faith is that God says, when He says, I will do something, come on now, you have complete confidence. He will. He will. And it's a done deal. You and I have got to praise Him for it and receive it. Amen? We don't have to ask Him. He's done said what His will is. And where the known will of God is, comes praise. And when you lift your hands in praise, that opens your heart to receive. And that brings a manifestation of the seed that is in your heart to produce the fruit. Amen? When the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. What's God hearing out of your mouth? Come on now, this is important. What's God hearing out of your mouth? Is He hearing faith? Is He hearing praise because of that faith? Is He hearing honor? Amen. That's what we've got to question ourselves. And if that's not the case, then we need to say, I repent in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over something that might have been contrary to the truth of the Word of God. And now, Lord, You loose my tongue. And loose my tongue and let me give You praise. Remember when Jesus went and He touched the man's tongue that he couldn't speak? What did it say? Immediately he praised God. Come on, he wanted to praise God, and when his tongue was loosed, this morning our tongue, decreed and declared, is loosed to give praise to the Almighty God. Our tongue is loosed to honor Him. Our tongue is loosed to testify. Our tongue is our very seed ability to sow into somebody else's life because we are being blessed and we're becoming a blesser. Amen? That's the truth. That's the reality. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for the thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Now, and of course, we understand He's talking to them under the old covenant, under Israel, but you and I, we are what? We're under a new covenant established on better promises because we are spiritually been in this body. We're grafted into this body. And so it's for us. Israel simply means, fully translated, He will rule as God. So if God is ruling as your God, then you qualify for this promise. Look what He said, verse 18. He said, I will open rivers in high places. Now rivers flow downward, right? God says, I'm going to open up rivers in high places. I'm going to open rivers out of my throne room. And they're going to flow, and they're going to flow out of the believer. Out of your belly, out of my belly shall flow, John 7:37, shall flow rivers, plural, of living water, because we believe God, we take Him at His word, and we don't allow anything to dam up our life. We don't allow anything to hinder and stop the blessing of God coming through you, coming through the church. Amen? The church of the living God. That's who we are. He said, I will open up these rivers. And look what he says. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. That's what God wants to do. There's people out there, they're parched. There's people out there, they're dying, and they need a drink of salvation. They need to know that there is a well of salvation. There's something that they can pull from. How can they ever know it unless you receive your blessing and you become a blessing? How can they receive it unless I receive my blessing and I become a blessing? It's a blessing to be able to share what Jesus Christ is doing in your life and in my life. It is an honor to be able to honor the one who honored us and said we, through the blood of Jesus, could sit at His table. I can sit at the table of the Lord. You can sit at the table of the Lord. That table is prepared in the midst of our enemies. Yes, there's enemies all around us, but our God has a table for us that will feed us and take care of us despite what we're dealing with, what we're going through, despite what we might get our eyes on. Come on, let's come back to the table. Let's don't look at the work of the enemy. He doesn't deserve any glory. We look to Jesus. Amen? Notice what he says, verse number 19. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittim tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. God says, I'm going to do that. How's he going to do it? Through you. Through you. We don't have time to break down each one of these names, but each one of these names has an understanding of what God wants to do, who he wants to plant in the world to cause the whole world, whosoever will, not to perish, but to come to repentance. Come on, the very first parable in the Bible, in the book of Judges, Judges 8 or 9, whatever it is, the first parable in the Bible deals with trees. Trees are people. Come on, in the Bible, it's like Revelation 17 where it's talking about the waters. It's not waters, it's people. It's people. And so we got to rightly divide the Word of God. And here God's wanting to set people in strategic locations that are blessed, where they can be a blessing to those who are without. You've got fruit that I need. You've got fruit that the world needs. That fruit is not of yourself, but it's of the seed that was implanted in you, that incorruptible seed that Peter wrote about in 1 Peter chapter 1, that incorruptible seed of the Word of God that will produce what is needed, when is needed, to change people's lives. Amen? Amen. That's who you're serving. That's who I'm serving. We are that church. Now notice what he said. I will plant these trees. And then here's the fifth I will in these verses. I will sit in the desert, the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. I love this. Jesus Christ is going to take things that are different and set them together where they're needed to accomplish the different task at hand that couldn't be done individually but can be done corporately. Come on, I need you. Jesus needs you. We need each other, and we need to be unique in who we are, but we need to be faithful to the call upon our lives. We need to be faithful to what we've been named in Christ Jesus, and we need to let the blessing that is upon us be a blessing out of us to meet the needs at hand. Amen? That's what God's wanting to do in us and through us. We have got to be in that position. But we don't have to be. We get to be. Amen? That's exciting. Remember what Paul wrote? Let's go back to the New Testament just for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 8 and 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestow on the churches of Macedonia. Verse number 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, right, the past few weeks, few months, the different people inside the church, we've been going through a trial. We've been going through a struggle. And you know what that struggle is. You know what that trial is. But that trial is to get you and I to focus on ourselves rather than focusing on God, rather than focusing on the will of God. And the will of God is that you and I, we be minded about the business of God. Let this mind that be in, that was in Christ Jesus be in you, be in me. And that mind was that we humble ourselves. Amen. We stay in that position where we're poor in spirit. We're humbled, as Jesus said, where the blessing of God can flow upon us and through us, because there's people out there, they need what you can give. Right. Now, let's don't get hung up on money. Right. I tell you what, yes, we need money, but what people need, they need truth.
Right.
They need truth. Truth then will a lot of times bring money. Truth will bring other things. But you can have all the money in the world and you can be the poorest person in the world. Now, I need somebody who will love me enough, who will come into my situation and with all the liberty of God, give me what I need. Amen? If I'm in confusion, I need somebody, amen, who will bring the Word of God to me. If I'm in hurt, I need somebody who will bring me the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Father of mercies, plural, that will help me, that will help you. Amen? That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves." That they went above and beyond in their giving. You and I today, we have got to give out of not what we know or what we understand, but give by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
I want you to know that somebody who needs mercy, you can give it to them.
Right.
You can give it to them because you have received mercy.
Right.
And that seed is in you. And because you've been blessed in mercy, you can become a blessing in the mercy of God. But you've got to see it. You've got to allow God, His plan for your life that He's speaking over you. You've got to receive it in your life and let it become the image of the reality of who you are rather than what the enemy says. The enemy says, you don't know what to say. And if you do say what you're supposed to say, you'll say it at the wrong time. Does that sound like the Holy Ghost? No. The Holy Spirit is always encouraging. He's always edifying. He's always bringing. If He does bring correction, it's a correction that causes you wanting to do what He wants you to do even more. Amen? We're going somewhere. Stay with me. Now, drop down to verse number 9 for sake of time. Verse number 9, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this grace, Paul said that God's grace was what? It was sufficient. It was enough. In the Greek, that's what it says. It's enough for every situation that you'll ever encounter. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for yet your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Oh, the richness of God. The richness of God. The richness of God is having what you need when you need it. It's like Brother Corey was teaching this morning on the gifts of the Spirit. He said, desire the gifts. Well, what's the most important gift? That's the most important fruit. Yes, the most important gift is the gift that's needed at the time. Come on, there's not one that's more important than the other. What is needed at the time. And God wants to put in your life, in my life, what you need at the time. And He wants to put in and through your life what is needed in somebody else's life at the time. That's the God that you serve. But you've got to see that no matter what need is presented to you this next week, no matter who you encounter, you serve a God who already knew and ordered your steps. The steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He shall what? Direct your steps. So your steps are directed by the Lord, and if He directed you to a need, He's going to get the need through you, and the need will be met. Because you're being blessed, and you're becoming a blesser. That's who you are. That's your label in the earth. And as a church, I'm talking not just this church I'm talking about, but as a church body as whole, we have went and we've accepted what the devil has said. Well, I can do that if. I don't see no if in the Bible. Come on now. When God tells you to do something, He will provide what you need. He will provide what I need. Paul was able to pour himself out as a drink offering. Why? Because there was an anointing on his life to do what needed to be done. He presented his body, and he commanded us by the Spirit of God to command our body, to present our body as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. That you thereby, because you're renewing your mind to that truth, I'm renewing my mind to that truth, that we can what? That we can know what the perfect will of God is. We're coming into a point of time that the acceptable and the good will of God will not get done what God wants to get done. He wants us to come into that very place of perfection. And you can do it because Jesus poured out everything. He become poor that you might become rich. He become poor that I might become rich. In other words, everything that you need, everything that I need, is there for us. But you've got to believe it. You've got to talk out of it. You've got to act out of it. I've got to talk out of it. I've got to act out of it. And if I will, then I will come back to the place of what Jesus said. Blessed are the poor in spirit. See, if I'm not humble before the Lord, I won't do what He says. We've got a lot of years that have passed where the church in America has done what it wanted to do. But if we're going to accomplish what God would have us to do before the coming of the Lord, before the enemy manifests himself and does what he wants to do, he came, Jesus said, to steal, kill, and destroy. Then you and I, we've got to stand up and say, listen, I don't know what you were presented with before, but I want to present to you a Lord and a Savior who is willing to come to where you were at, that He could take you where He is.
Amen.
Amen. See, we take John 14, if we're not careful, and we twist it all out of shape. We take the first, don't get mad at me now, but I'm, we take those first three verses and we just teach on the, John 14 is about an abode. It's an abode, a mean old abode. It's about understanding that you, the believer, has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit within you. Because they are one. You can't divide them, and they're one. And they want to live in you. They want to live in me. And where the Godhead is, there's fullness. And remember, Paul wrote to the church at Colossians, he said, and you are complete in Him. In Christ dwells all the Godhead bodily. Right? Colossians 1, Colossians 2. But you are complete in that. And so you've got to see yourself as Jesus has poured Himself out and made you a blessing. But you've got to be humble enough. I've got to be humble enough to take God at His word, not what I feel, not what I've been taught, not what my life experiences say, but what thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, there's many of the things that could be said, But I pray right now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you take what has been said and you speak into each one of our hearts. Help us to hear it and to receive individually and corporately what you're wanting us to hear this morning to be forever changed. Lord, we come in agreement with your word and we say that we are poor in spirit. We are humble enough to receive in our spirit a word that will change us. And we thank you that your word says that we are blessed in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But help us to walk that out. Help us to receive that and to yield to that truth and to operate in that truth to the reality that is so great that we give out everything that you have poured in us. If there's anything that would be misconstrued by the enemy right now, we bind every outside voice, every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our life. But more importantly, thank you for this truth to make us free. You said we'd know the truth. We'd continue in your word, and your word was that word of discipleship, discipline, that would make us free. We would be your disciples. Lord, let that be. Let us be in the place of operating in the parameters, in the liberality of the Word of God. I ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I've been challenged this morning by the reality that I am blessed, but I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I want to become a blessing in every area of my life. Would you come? Each and every one of you.